Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 6. And what I love about our Wednesday nights is expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept, book by book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And so we're excited to teach expository this evening. And allow me to get my screen ready for us, and we'll go into our Bible study this evening. Amen. Amen. So give me 1 second, saints of God. Here we go. And yes, I've entitled this evening's message, Precious in the Sight of God. Precious in the Sight of God. My friends, I love expository teaching, and I'll tell you why. Because we can get into the depth of God's Word. I love going back and looking at the historical context. But then we look in the light and the lens of the power of the Holy Spirit and the written Word of God, that how can we today apply the Scriptures? How do we make it come alive? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And so I'm excited about this evening's teaching, because Peter wrote some specific insights regarding men and women, and we're going to look in this. And one of the things that is always going to be brought up in life in itself is the husband and wife who God ordained to bring forth, hallelujah, his creation. Ever since Adam and Eve, God, even in the midst of their fall, God still, hallelujah, has blessed mankind. He made this earth perfect for you and I to live in. It's not too hot, not too cold. He gave us enough water to drink, enough food to eat. He's given us daylight, and he has given us the evening stars. He created all things for us. And nowhere in Scripture do you find another planet like ours, in all of the trillions of galaxies and Milky Ways and stars that are just light years, thousands and trillions and billions of light years away from one another. And it's so vast, and yet, that's called the second heaven. The third heaven is where God reigns and rules. And it's so vast, it's so beyond our human comprehension. You see, we live here on this earth under the first heaven. So we live underneath the atmosphere. So God has given us enough, like I mentioned, enough air, water, food. But notice, we're all confined to the law of gravity. So the gravity to the earth keeps us from floating away and going into the stratosphere. And then we have the second heaven, which is the stars and the constellations and the planets and the moons and all these things that are, like I mentioned, trillions of light years apart from one another. And then the third heaven. That's where God is coming to take the church soon and very soon. I can't wait. How many can't wait? Oh, yes, he's going to take us all. And we're going to be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. And we will be with him while the 7-year tribulation is unleashed on this earth. My friends, a little later in the conclusion of this message, I'm going to share some insights that you would take note, take heed, that God would truly reveal and enlighten us for such a time as this and the times that we live in. Okay, so I'm ready to get with this Bible study, and here we go. Let's start with verse 1 and 2. Here we go, and it reads, Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even as some do not obey the word, they without a word may be what? Won by the conduct of their wives. Verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Wow. Here we go. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's where I got our topic this evening, saints of God. And then verse 5 and 6. For this is the manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with what? Any terror. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So let's break this down and let's go to verse 1 and verse 2. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by conduct of their wives. I've seen this played out many times, saints of God. And when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, accompanied by fear. Isn't that a blessing, what we just read right now? Oh, that's right. Listen, don't give up, don't throw in the towel. Can I get an amen? Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, I need you to see something right up here. Look at this. The phrase in the same way or likewise is homoios, most likely referred, except all authority. Authority, look at this. The word homoios has a slightly different slant than the word kathos. In other words, that is translated in the same what? In the same way. In the same way. You see, my friends, Paul and Peter were given revelation of this. Praise God, praise God. And so if Peter had used the word kathos, he would have meant that wives should serve their husbands in the same way that slaves during this time served their masters. However, saints of God, the word homoios, like I just mentioned, focuses the comparison in other areas of their lives. Praise God. You see, saints, while wives are to serve their husbands in the same way as slaves serve their masters during this era, during this time, Peter was not saying that wives were slaves. Oh, no, not at all. Instead, the wives' service should have positive motives. Can I get an amen? For the Lord's sake. Listen, wives at home, when you're serving your husband, it's like serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God wants us to serve one another. Men as well, serving his wife. And should be consistent to no matter what the attitude of the one in authority, even if they are very harsh. Listen, back during this time, men would put their wives away for burning their toast. Oh, yeah, that's how ridiculous it was. But praise God, we as believers can grow in the grace and knowledge and the wisdom and the Word of God where it would permeate in our lives. It would give us the knowledge and wisdom on how to entreat one another. Oh, that's right. Listen, let me just say this. Learn to love your spouse with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Oh, that's right. Serve one another just like you serve Christ, because Jesus came to serve us. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, back in the times that we're reading right now in 1 Peter, Christian wives were to accept the authority of their husbands in obedience to Christ to keep harmony in the family and also to encourage unbelieving husbands to believe. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, the submission of the wife to the husband is an often misunderstood concept. Oh, that's right. It is taught in several places in the New Testament. Let me just say this. I've seen so many couples and 34 years of ministry of being saved, where one of the spouses would get saved during their marriage and the other one would still remain in an unbelieving state. But I'm here to let you know, don't get mad. Don't get frustrated. Be patient. Don't beat your spouse on the head with the Bible. The key is to live the life of Christ before them. Love them. Serve them. Honor them. Especially if the husband is the unsaved one. Well, that's right. Just serve him and love him. And let me just say this. You treat him with kindness and gentleness and love him and everything that he needs from you. Listen, he will give you that time to be with the Lord. Oh, that's right. And you wait patiently until God quickens his heart, and then he'll come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many right now are praying, right now, praying that I hope my husband one day will give his heart to the Lord? And then vice versa. Some of you husbands are saved and the wives are not. But normally it's the other way around. Praise God, praise God. But we have some wonderful scriptures in the New Testament. I want us to go right here, look at this, to Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the what? Wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Honor the man of God, especially a believing husband. Look at this in Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting to what? To the Lord. Fitting to the Lord, my friends. The principle of submission does not require a woman to become a doormat. No, we're not asking that. It's not saying that in the Word of God. When a Christian wife interacted with an unbelieving husband, she needed to be submissive according to the cultural norms in order to save the marriage and sometimes even her own life. Praise God that we don't live in the Middle East, where one would get saved. And let me just say this. You would really have to go into incognito there. But see, my friends, she ought not to participate in her husband's pagan religion or submit to actions that dishonored God. No, no, that's right. That's where you have to draw the line. You know, I've seen some wonderful marriages clash, especially when you have one that's unbelieving. And so this is where you have to ask God, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, let me be slow to speak. Because I've seen some people, they just get in each other's grill. And that it's not going to win anything. You're not going to win each other over. It's through love and through a whole lot of long suffering, a lot of patience. However, when both wife and husband were Christians, the woman should respect the God-given authority of her husband. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. And while the husband exercised his authority in a loving and gentle manner for marriage and family relations to run smoothly, there must be one appointed leader. And God, I need you to hear this clearly, and God has appointed the husband and the father to help lead the family. Oh, that's right. You know, I've heard it said in a joking way that, you know, the man is the head of the household. You know, he's the leader. You know, he's the decision maker. And that's good. But she will tell him what color pants to wear. You ever heard that one before? Oh, yeah. You know, I'm saying it in a joking way. But wives, if you're a Christian wife, learn to give the final authority to the husband. Because that's the order God has instituted for the family. It's God, and then the man, and then the woman, and then the child. Praise God. Praise God. There's no other way. And that's how God made it. Praise God. And the wife should willingly follow her husband's leadership in Christ, saints, acknowledging that this is his responsibility. You see, my friends, submission does not mean blind obedience, nor does it mean inferiority. No, it don't. A wife who accepts her husband's authority is accepting the relationship that God has designed and giving her husband leadership and responsibility. Praise God. Praise God. You know, a man wants to lead. It's in his nature. It's in his DNA. That's what God put in the man. So wives, allow him to lead and be patient with him. Can I get an amen? And watch God do the miraculous. God will bless your union. He'll bless your marriage. He'll bless your children. He'll bless your finances. He'll bless your home. If you do it God's way, that's the key. You see, my friends, in the first century, when a man became a Christian, he usually would bring his whole family into the church with him. And a good example and what we see in Scripture is when the Philippian jailer got saved. His whole family got saved. Look, I want us to go to Acts. Turn with me to Acts 16. Look at this. Look at this little story right here I found. Look at this. Acts 16, 29 through 34. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want us to pause right here. This story is when Paul and Silas were chained. They were chained up in prison. And then an earthquake came. And God sent an angel to release them all. And they could have ran. And they could have just left. And they could have killed the jailer, meaning the security guard. But no, they stayed there calmly. And the jailer ran in and said, "Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, you guys could have killed me. And yet you're here praising your God." So here's where the story picks up. Let's look at this for a moment. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were where? In his house. Look at this. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. This is the jailer that whooped them, that beat them. Look at this. And were immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. That included his wife and his children. Praise God. They all greeted them. And these were prisoners. My goodness. You see, saints, by contrast, a woman who became a Christian usually came into the church alone. Oh, that's right. But under the Roman law, the husband and father had absolute authority over all members of his household, including his wife during this time. And a wife who demanded her rights as a free woman in Christ could endanger her marriage and her life if her husband disapproved during this time. But instead, she would live her new faith through pure godly behavior. Peter reassured that Christian women who are married to basically unbelievers, that they would not need to preach to their husbands, and their husbands would see their godly lives. And that's the key. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they would see the good works of your Father and that they would glorify God." We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the light and salt of the earth. Can I get an amen? And we cannot put our light under a bushel or underneath our bed. We must let our light shine bright. Can I get an amen? Come on. Listen. Do what God has called you to do, saints, and God will do the rest. But you have to step out, because faith without works is dead. It's dead. We must press in. At the very least, saints, the men would then allow these wives to continue practicing their faith. At best, their husbands would become Christians too. Praise God. Praise God. That's how you win them over. Through love. Not through a rod of iron. Not through pounding them on the head with the Bible. No. It's through love and caring for them and praying for them. Anoint them. When they get sick, pray for them. They need to see God demonstrated in your lives. And many of you are doing a wonderful job, a beautiful job. But you may not see any results just yet. Hang on, don't throw in the towel. watch God do the miraculous. Oh, yes, He will. Because He's the God that can do, will do, and has done. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. So now, let's go now right here to verse 3 and 4 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And it reads, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, as to today's society, it's focused on outward beauty. Such beauty was achieved in fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, and beautiful clothes, my friends. But Peter contrasted putting beautiful things on the outside to make oneself beautiful versus revealing the natural inner beauty that a Christian woman should have because of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what? I am so blessed to recall and to know that there are many wonderful saints, many beautiful women in our church that have an inner beauty about them that is priceless. It's priceless, and it comes from God. Praise God. You see, my friends, this passage is teaching that women should not count on their beauty coming from outward adornments. Not that women can't braid and do all the jewelry and the nice clothes. It's not about that. You see, my friends, even Paul wrote almost the exact words to the woman in the Ephesian church. Oh yeah, when he wrote a letter to Timothy. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this. "In like manner," in 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10, "in like manner also that the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Listen, it's not all about what the culture wants you to think you want to look like. It's about the beautiness and the holiness inside you. That is finer than precious gold. That's what glorifies God, sisters, is that you would walk with integrity, that you would walk with honesty and purity, that you would continue to love your family and to love the church, but more so to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I thought this was going to be a difficult Bible study because it's talking about women, but I don't think so. I think this is a joyful message. Why? Because it's all about the inner beauty of a person. And that's all that matters. The outwardness, it comes and goes and it fades away. From the moment we're born, time will go by so fast where it's time to even go back to the dirt to be buried. You know, if God gives you 90 years, praise God. But it's like a blip on the screen. Our lives go by so fast, so quickly. And so, during your life, the key, sisters, is to have a heart of gold. It's to make an impact on people around you. That they don't see the outwardness, but they see the inwardness. They see a woman of character, of love, of caring, of nurturing, of lifting up, edifying and building up. That's what it's all about. You see, saints of God, Christian women should not be obsessed by fashion or overly concerned with their outward appearance. No, let that go. On the other hand, neither should they be unconcerned that they do not bother to care for themselves. Oh yeah, so there's a balance. Just be balanced. Be a balanced sister. Amen? Praise God. You see, beauty and adornments have their place, but they must be kept in proper perspective. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Christian women should let their beauty come from within, as I've been mentioning, and the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Praise God. Their beauty should come from their personality and the attitudes, thoughts, and motivations that are revealed in words and actions. Praise God. And for believers, this inner self has been transformed by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You see, to be gentle means showing humility, consideration of others, not insisting on one's own rights, not being pushy or overly assertive. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found here in Galatians. In Galatians 5:23, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Praise God. Praise God. That's a blessing. You see, my friends, to be quiet refers to the same attitude as described by gentle. Also focusing not on causing dissensions with inappropriate words or gossip. Oh, that's right. We should refrain. I've always said it best, and this is for everyone, men and women. If there's nothing good to say about anyone, then say nothing at all. When someone approaches me and then they start bashing someone and blah, blah, this, I put them in their tracks. I say, listen, that person is not right here to defend themselves, and I don't want to hear that. Let's just pray that God will give you peace, and that God will give them peace, and that God will make a way so that you can be reconciled back to that person in one form or fashion. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So now, let's move on to our last two verses. Verses 5 and 6 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And it reads, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being what? Submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with what? Any terror." Any terror. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the holy women of the past were both beautiful and holy, meaning sanctified, set apart. Not because they lived perfect lives and had perfect looks, but because they trusted in the Lord God. Praise God. And during this time, Jesus was not yet revealed to them, so they wanted to honor God. Praise God. Another ancient writer understood this perfectly, saints of God. Look at this. Solomon in the book of Proverbs. "Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be what? Greatly praised." How many of you sisters would want to be greatly praised by God? Praise God. So this tells it in a nutshell, because charm can be deceptive. It could be conniving. It could be hidden agendas behind someone's charm. And beauty does not last. Oh, that's right. Beauty don't last. You know, a lot of us are not 15, 16, 17, 18 no more. For me, I'm 64. Some of you sisters are probably around my age as well, or getting older. Those days are gone when you were 16, 17. And so what have you learned since then? Have you matured in your faith? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge? Are you showing your spouse the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God? That's what it's all about. That's how we can spread this beautiful gospel of living holy. Oh, that's right. Living righteous and pure before God. Praise God. How many believe that God is doing a radical and mighty thing in your life? Oh, that's right. That's right. Praise God. And so in 1 Peter, these women trusted in God and knew how to submit to the authority God had established by accepting the authority of their husbands. Praise God. Peter used one woman in particular as an example. And so he went back and spoke about Sarah, who obeyed her husband. Who was her husband? Abraham. When she called him master. You see, Peter commended her attitude of obedience, hanging his argument on Sarah's use of master. And Sarah's submission certainly wasn't slavish. She insisted that Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham's other wife and first son, be sent away. Praise God. Praise God. And that was good that that happened. Because if she stuck around, there'd be a clash. Be a clash of jealousy and many other things would arrive because of Abraham's disobedience at that time. Instead of waiting for the promise, he thought the promise was going into his servant. But that wasn't the promise. Out came Ishmael, not Isaac. So Abraham didn't like it, but went along with her request. Apparently, God approved of Sarah's request as supported by his answer to Abraham. Do just as Sarah says. Do just as Sarah says. Oh, yeah. It's right here in Scripture. Look at this in Genesis 21:12. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. And whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Wow. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, there are times that I have these blinders on and I can't see to the left or to the right spiritually or even in the natural. And my wife, Yolanda, will come and tell me, you didn't see this. You didn't see that. I need you to see this. Look at that. And I always hear God saying to me, listen to her. Listen to her. Don't be arrogant and prideful. Listen to the wife that I've given you. And so for 26 years, when she has something to say, I know that it's from the Lord. Why? Because it's for my own good. It's not to nag. It's not to quarrel. But she says things for me to help me. And this is what all of us need to do, is help one another grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so, my friends, why did Peter use Sarah as an example? You see, my friends, Sarah was considered the mother of God's people, as Abraham was the father, according to God's covenant, his promises. And this is the promises that are found in Genesis. Look at this. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, look at this, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you what? A great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be what? Shall be blessed. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, not only was Sarah an example to be followed because of her faithfulness to God and to her husband, she did submit to Abraham to have the child. Oh, that's right. She might have laughed at the angels when they appeared, but guess what? That was God's plan, so that the Messiah would come through their lineage. Praise God. But also because she was the mother of all believers under the old covenant, the mother of the Jewish nation. Under the new covenant, the mother of all who believe. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this right here in Galatians 4:22. For it is written, Abraham had two sons. He had two sons. The one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and of the free woman through promise. Did you catch that? See, the promise is through the Spirit. Oh, that's right. The unfulfilled promise is in the Spirit. Look at, did you catch that? It's all about obedience. It's all about the will of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. It's all about God. Saints, Peter saw Christian women as true daughters of Sarah, and thus true daughters of God. So they should do what is right without fear of what husbands might do, as long as they keep it according to God's word. A Christian woman's faith in God would help her not be afraid, saints. In context, this could refer to them on not fearing the physical harm that might come to them from their husbands. And I've seen some disasters. I get it. I've seen some men that treated their women harshly. They were unbelievers, and the wives were believers. And they had to endure. They had to endure. Oh, that's right. A couple comes to mind right now. When I attended Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, and I remember when Pastor Jim Hallahan shared how God delivered him. He was a full-blown alcoholic, a drunk. He would come home and he would beat his kids and even beat his wife and just curse God. And his wife was a believer, and she would have to pray in the bathroom. She had to find places to pray, but she prayed and prayed and prayed. And she never gave up. She believed God was going to do something special for her husband and for her family. And one day, you would want, one would think that, man, that's enough abuse. That's enough already to put him away. That's enough already to call the authorities and to incarcerate him. But one day he came home, and he was in his room, and the Holy Spirit showed up, convicted him of his sin, showed him all the harsh things he was saying and doing to his wife and kids. He fell on his knees, cried out to God, and God saved him at that very moment and radically changed their whole direction of where they were going. And then he became an ordained pastor under Pastor Leo. That's right, Pastor Jim Hallahan and his beautiful wife, Nancy Hallahan. When they shared that story, when he shared it, man, literally there wasn't a dry eye in the place. People were crying and rejoicing and giving God all the glory. You see, not fearing the result with these women that we're talking about of submitting to their husbands, or not fearing what might happen if they had to disobey their husbands because their husbands asked them to do wrong or evil or do something acts. No, it could also refer to them of persecution throughout this letter, recommending that these women not be afraid of anything that might come upon them or their families. But in this particular context, my friends, their fear and hope in God allowed them both to reverence and not fear their husbands. Praise God, praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that as we continue in 1 Peter chapter 3 in the weeks to come, and as we conclude this first letter, I have this urgency in my spirit that Jesus is soon to return. Oh, yes, he is. He is soon to return, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Listen, I said earlier that I was going to share this prophetic insight. The Bible's clear that two witnesses establishes a truth. Two to three witnesses. So in a court of law, if there are at least two witnesses, it establishes then a truth where the jury and the judge can rule on. But without any witnesses, then it becomes hearsay or your word only. So we all know what's taking place right now. It started with Ashbury in Kentucky. Now 25 other universities are having this overflow and outpouring. And now it's happening across the land, around the world. Little fires are taking place of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing that's intriguing, and you have to go back to see what God has done, to see what he's doing now. And here is the established truth that I'm going to share with you. So let's go back. When was the last time God started pouring out his spirit? Because there was some radical things taking place when he poured out his spirit. There's a movie that just came out. I highly recommend you go see it. It's called The Jesus Revolution. Well, during that period, the flower child and the hippie generation and all those anti-war people, and the country was torn. It was torn, divided, like it is today. And God chose to pour out His Spirit. And during 1967 through 72, there was an outpouring like no other. 1,000 Calvary Chapel churches were birthed. Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee, they were part of this that God used, and Greg Laurie, the movie's about Greg Laurie. But what was so intriguing, my friends, during that outpouring, there were two other fronts going on. What was happening during this time was the Vietnam War and 34 other skirmishes around the world. But in Israel, Jerusalem was recaptured again by Israel. That's right. They came back to the land. In 1945, they became a nation, but they didn't have their capital. So in the last pouring that we saw was 67 through 72. So three fronts were at play. The Jesus Revolution, the outpouring, the Vietnam War, 34 skirmishes, and then Jerusalem was recaptured. So now, that was one witness. Now, what was the second witness? We'll go back to the early 1900s. Many of you can recall and have read about and have celebrated 100 years, not too long ago, the Azusa Street Revival. Oh, yeah. It happened in L.A. And so that was the birth of the Pentecostal and the Charismatic movement. And it was a wildfire that was catching all over the place. And there was a huge movement of God about 100 years ago. But what was happening as well during this outpouring? As we saw in 67, as I shared with you, there was war, and something so miraculous took place in Israel. Well, during the Azusa Street, I believe it was in the early 1900s, you had the outpouring. It was during World War I, and the Balfour Declaration was signed. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, what it means is that the British, who controlled all of Israel, signed the Balfour Declaration and gave back the deed back to the Jews so that the Jews could come back to their land. So you got the outpouring in Azusa Street. You had a world war, World War I, and then the Balfour Declaration. Now in 67, once again, as a recall, the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus Movement, 1,000 churches were birthed. People were getting saved left and right. And then you had Jerusalem recaptured back by the Jews, and it was during the Vietnam War and 34 other skirmishes. So now, in real time, this is us right now. What is God going to allow to happen now? Right now, we see revival everywhere. Our own church, we're seeing a prophetic movement of God. We're seeing healings take place. We're seeing salvation. We're seeing people just worshiping, and the presence of God is coming in. He's coming in many churches that honor Him and love Him. But what's the purpose for the outpour? Is it for another 1,000 churches to be birthed? No. My friends, God has given me an insight to this. I really believe. I wouldn't have shared this if we didn't have two witnesses in 67 and the 1900s. So, what's the other two events with this outpouring? There's going to be a big war. And Russia, China has a line now together. Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, and Mexico. They're all locked in to come against the United States of America. You need to be praying. You need to be praying, saints of God, because we've never had war on our land. And if it comes, where's your bunker? Where are we going to hide? Are you armed up to defend yourself? But I love what the scripture says. that we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto what? Salvation. So something radical is going to happen as a war, and then something miraculous is going to take place in Israel. Those two other things line up with this outpouring. It'll be the third witness. And this is why. Prepare your hearts to meet the King. I believe this outpouring is the refining. God is purifying our hearts. He is getting us ready to meet Him face to face. Because listen, if you look in the book of Revelation, God spoke about seven churches. And the one and last church was the church of Laodicea. And guess what that church's condition is? And I truly believe that's our generation. That's the church around the world today. It's the lukewarm church. He said, you guys are rich. Jesus said, you're rich. You're not in need of anything. And you are lukewarm. In other words, yeah, I may come to church. If not, oh, I'll catch it online, blah, blah, blah. There's no urgency. There's no coming together in the fellowship. Like the book of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Oh, that's right. Listen, my friends, this outpouring is to purify the church, to get the church ready to be with the Lord forevermore. And so, pray that our hearts would be right before God. He's doing something radical, saints of God, and He's coming very soon. Maybe you're watching for the very first time, maybe the second time, and maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. This is time now to be the church and not plain church. This is the time that you would surrender your life, that you would turn from sin, that you would repent. Repent means turn. Turn away from your wicked ways. Turn away from the things of this world. God can heal anything. God can, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what type of relationship you're in. I don't care if you're living a different kind of lifestyle that the Bible calls an abomination. God can radically save you and change you and do the miraculous in your life. But you got to repent and acknowledge your sin before God and humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then He will lift you up. And once you repent, hallelujah, then He applies the blood. The blood comes and washes away every sin. He doesn't remember your sin no more. He'll cast your sins from the east to the west into the sea of unforgetfulness. He won't remember it no more. And then He'll fill you with His Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus on the third day from the dead is the same Holy Spirit, the same power that's going to cause us, hallelujah, to meet Him in the air when He comes and the angel blows the shofar. My friends, humble yourself. Be ready for His soon return. And for those of you who have never asked God to come into your life, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would do a miracle in your life right now. So if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer with me in Jesus' name. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner and I repent right now. I turn from my wicked ways and I turn to You, God. I believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. Listen, down below is our banner. Why don't you log on to our website? Our email and phone number is there. We want to pray for you. We want to appoint you to a good church that will teach and preach the unadulterated word of God and place a Bible in your hand. No matter where you live, we'll get one out to you. Praise God. Praise God. And also, my friends, thank you, thank you, thank you for being a blessing to Amazing Grace. Thank you for your outpouring of love and prayers and also your monetary gifts. As you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we leave you the benediction, and it goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. My friends, I'm looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California at 10 a.m. Be blessed this day. Thank you for tuning in. Can't wait to see you. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.